Tyler Ditter, our engineer, came up with some water for us to kind of get us in the mood to thinking about our lakes and rivers. And that's what we're going to be talking about next. The topic for this year's Wisconsin Lakes and Rivers Convention is resilience. And as it turns out, the choice was quite appropriate because of the COVID-19 risks. Because of that, the event is now being held virtually. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. We have two of the organizers with us today to help explain how it will work, what topics will be discussed. Mike Engelson is executive director at Wisconsin Lakes, the statewide advocacy and organization and organizing group for the lake stakeholders. Eric Olson is director and lakes outreach specialist at Extension Lakes at UW Stevens Point. So we will be talking with these two experts and wondering if you've attended the Wisconsin Lakes and Rivers Convention in the past. What did you think? What questions might you have about our lakes and rivers? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. And I see we've got Mike Engelson with us. Mike, are you there?
I am, Larry. Thanks for having us.
And Eric Olson, have we reached Eric yet?
Yes, I'm joining in from beautiful Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
All right. Good to have you both with us today to talk about this. Before we talk about the convention, let's talk about your organizations. Maybe, Eric, first you could start.
Sure. Since the 1970s, Extension has been a key player in developing and fostering a partnership arrangement for the Department of Natural Resources and the university and hundreds of lake organizations, as well as Mike's office, which he'll talk about. And we just try to coordinate a lot of education and outreach around lake issues, really trying to use the citizen volunteers who get involved as maybe lake monitors or as lake association board members and lake district board members, helping provide them with tools and resources to do their part, taking care of literally thousands of lakes in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's more. We have more than 10,000 lakes, don't we?
That's correct, and it always depends on exactly how you define a lake, but there's many lakes in Wisconsin, and the DNR has a responsibility to care for these lakes, but they don't have the time and the staffing to really take care of thousands of lakes, so they look to the people who own shoreline cabins and homes to play a strong role by forming those lake organizations, whether it's a district or a lake association, and stepping up and doing a lot of the local management, and that way the DNR can play more of a science and funding role, trying to help leverage that local interest.
Yeah. Well, Mike Engelson, turn to you then. You're executive director at Wisconsin Lakes. Talk about your organization.
Sure. So Wisconsin Lakes is the statewide association of all the lake organizations in the state. We're a nonprofit organization. We work in a very close partnership with UW Extension Lakes and DNR in helping lake organizations run and understand how they can function better. And we also serve as an advocacy organization, not just for the lake organizations, but for lakes in general. So we approach things with a lake conservation bent to try to keep our waters safe and clean and working well for everyone. And that's the way most of our members approach it as well.
Yeah, I would bet. Well, tell us about the theme of this year's event. Why resilience?
Yeah, you know, we come up with a theme every year just to kind of organize our talks around. And usually the theme is heavily present in the keynote speakers that we would bring in. And it was last summer that we brainstormed and thought resilience would be a good topic to talk about. Resilience is a you can go online and learn about research related to resilience, but it's a concept that transcends both our study of natural resources and the ecosystems, as well as our study of people and communities. So it's sort of this common ground between people working on natural resource management, as well as people thinking about the social side of natural resources. How do people organize around caring for lakes and rivers? So resilience just came out as a really neat theme for the year. And we did that. We had keynote speakers who are already going to be talking about resilience. And then a couple of weeks ago, when we sort of saw the event horizon approaching us and realizing that this wasn't going to be an in-person meeting, we kind of gut-checked ourselves. I talked to a lot of the staff at Extension Lakes and people like Mike and the DNR, and we already had lined up over 100 presenters to participate in the conference, and we asked them, you know, what their gut was telling them. And we all realized that, you know, if because we have this resilience theme, it would seem sort of off if we just decided, well, I guess, you know, this disturbance, we can't survive, and so we're just going to cancel the conference this year. Instead, we realized that we had enough time, barely enough time, to put together an online format and to just pivot to going completely online. And so at that stage, we just realized, like, this is a demonstration of our ability to withstand a disturbance or withstand something that would otherwise stress and change the system. And we know it's not going to be the same, right? It's not going to be the same as an in-person conference, but we're trying to keep it as close as possible to what you would experience if you came up to Stevens Point in March or April of any year and participated in this convention.
Well, I tell you what, I have a lot of respect for what you did. I had to spend last week putting together an online course for the course that I teach at the UW-Madison, and it's no small feat to put something together for my students, but it's a lot smaller group than what you were working with, and a whole lot more diversity there with the number of speakers and everything that you have.
Yeah. So it was no small challenge, and we're still sort of managing pieces right now sort of as we go, but we are trying to keep, again, the main pieces of the convention together. So that includes on Wednesday, a week from today, we have half-day workshops. So these are meant to be a little more intense, a little more hands-on, so probably more similar to a college classroom experience. We have 5 workshops in the morning and 5 workshops in the afternoon. And registration is open for those workshops through Sunday. People who register for the workshops, they'll be in a smaller environment in the online world. And then contrast that to Thursday and Friday, where it's just going to be like a regular old conference with hundreds of attendees, and you'll get your choice between different topical streams. We have 6 different topical streams that cover things like lake and river science, as well as stories from monitoring from the field. We actually this year had a stream dedicated to understanding the impacts of climate change on surface water resources. So that's still going on. We have an ecology stream. It's basically 6 different channels that you can choose from during the concurrent sessions. And then we have our plenary speakers still lined up. So the plenaries will be in the mornings on both Thursday and Friday.
Is there a cost connected with it?
It's a nominal fee. So when we organize this conference on any given year, Mike and I know pretty well what costs go into this. And the main expense of a real conference is actually the food and the venue and the hotels that go into having a meeting in this space. And so we don't have to deal with those costs now, and that's sort of fortunate. But we are trying to track closely how many people to expect, and we're trying to scale up the web-based infrastructure according to how many people are signing up. So there is a nominal cost for each day, Thursday and Friday. It's $10. So $10 gets you access to the 4 concurrent time periods, as well as the plenary session. We also, believe it or not, are doing a lightning round session on Thursday as well. And then on Friday, the $10 will get you, again, the same access to all the different concurrent sessions. The workshops on Wednesday are $5 a piece. So a morning workshop is only $5. Just that nominal amount we think is important because it commits the person signing up to actually joining us. There's
a lot there to go. You know, we're going to take a quick break here, Eric and Mike, and we'll get back to this and we can talk some more about costs, but also just get into the nuts and bolts a bit more of this convention. And, of course, talk about lakes and rivers. And as you listen to these two experts, I hope you'll join in with your own questions at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas at WPR.com. UWX.org. We'll take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with our guests. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. You know, every spring since the 1980s, I think, it's been water advocates, scientists, managers, and educators getting together for the annual Wisconsin Lakes and Rivers Convention. This year is no exception, except they'll be doing it online. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. With us by phone, Eric Olson, Director and Lakes Outreach Specialist at Extension Lakes and UW Stevens Point. And Mike Engelson, Executive Director at Wisconsin Lakes. It's the statewide advocacy and organizing group for lake stakeholders. So maybe you're planning to attend the convention. What would you like to know about it? What questions do you have about our Wisconsin waterways? You can join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And when we broke for news, we were talking about costs, very minimal costs, $10 and for the first 2 days, and then $5 for the sessions, if I'm not mistaken, Mike.
$5 for the workshops on Wednesday, and then $10 each day for Thursday and Friday.
Okay, there we go. And we, the time is short. How do we sign up again?
Sure. So probably the easiest way is to go to wisconsinlakes.org. So that's the webpage of Mike's organization. And you'll find a link there to the conference webpage. The webpage sits at the UW Stevens Point site with a very long URL. So I don't want to try to read it on air. But if you go to wisconsinlakes.org, you'll see links right there. And then it'll take you to a registration system if you want to actually sign up. You just kind of keep clicking through until you enter your information and get registered. And again, it's important for us to have a sense of who's coming so that we can prepare accordingly. If we didn't have a registration system, we really would have no way to know exactly how many people are coming. But I can tell you that just in the last 24 hours for the Thursday and Friday sessions, we've had more than 70 people sign up. And that's going to be an interesting feature for this conference is that there really isn't much of a limit on how many people can participate. When we met in person at Stevens Point, you can only accommodate as many people as can actually fit in the conference center. With people joining from home, you know, it's up to them to kind of get themselves comfortable and be situated, maybe in an easy chair with their laptop, and then they'll just be able to, you know, join at their leisure. And I think that for some people, we know this actually might be a better way to learn and participate in the convention.
And we also know that we have people that might normally attend that are they are stuck in Arizona or Florida, if that's where they were hunkered down for the winter. So this is a way that even some people that maybe were not planning on attending in person are going to be able to get to experience some of these workshops and sessions, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is indeed. We have callers online with some questions. You can join in 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Certainly love to hear from you. Well, I wanted to cover some of the topics here. You know, your keynote speaker, Dr. Douglas Beard, that's a guy from Wisconsin. Well, at least he was a native of Wisconsin and worked at the DNR at one point.
That's right. Doug is from his family's up in northwest Wisconsin. I think his family's been involved in fisheries management for a long time. And in the DNR, he held some leadership roles in I think, the 1990s. He got his PhD from UW-Madison, and now he's kind of a higher up within the U.S. Geological Survey, working with their climate adaptation science centers, which are really scattered all over the world. And it's a collaboration between the United States Geological Survey and a lot of local research institutions, really allowing them to extend their reach and get a lot of interesting climate change research accomplished with minimal resources. So he's going to talk a bit about how resilience is incorporated in their work at the Geological Survey and how resilience has affected him personally.
It sounds great. And then the Friday keynote, Lauren Salvato, I'm trying to remember, she's policy director of the Upper Mississippi River Basin Association. Is that correct?
That's correct. So this is actually the first year that we've tried to be much more formal and explicit about incorporating rivers and watersheds into our conference. It's always been there sort of in different ways, but over time we've been focusing increasingly on rivers and watersheds. And so this organization is based out of the Twin Cities, and they have this multi-state area of interest, the headwaters area of the Upper Mississippi River. And they address policy issues, and they're similar to Mike's organization, except they operate at this multi-state scale, and they do have the ability to try to work with lawmakers at the federal level to influence policy or try to develop new solutions legislatively or maybe budgetarily to take on the challenges of an entire river basin. So we're excited to hear from her and what their operation is working on.
Yeah, definitely. Someone was wondering how you would look at the current condition of our lakes and rivers. I don't know. Mike, maybe you could make a comment on that.
So I guess if the question is if there's a place online to go to look for those sorts of things, I think the Department of Natural Resources has some information. There's probably not it's somewhat lake by lake how current the current information is. So, for instance, in Madison and Dane County through the Clean Lakes Alliance, if there are problems like algae blooms or things like that, they have some setups where there's some crowdsourced information. People are able to fill out information in an app, and you can actually get some pretty up-to-date, up-to-the-minute information on what the conditions of lakes are. And there are different variations of that around in your area. To just get some basic information about specific lakes, if you go to the DNR site, they maintain some basic information about each lake. And you can just search for their lake pages and find that there.
All right. Let me give that number again. If you'd like to join in, the number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I also wanted to mention that we have a link to the convention website at WPR.org/Larry. So if you're listening online, you can just go right there and click in and get signed up if you want to get signed up. And I want to go into a little more detail of the various talks, because to give people a better idea of what's happening and what kinds of topics they can hear about. Eric, do you want to?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
So an example, one of the streams really just looks at different facets of water ecology, and that includes things like stream ecology. There's a great deal of science around understanding how streams function in terms of supporting plant and fish life and supporting the life around the stream. And we're really grateful to have someone like Christopher Wright join us. Christopher Wright is an aquatic biologist at UW-Platteville, and he's all set up to essentially give an in-depth look, but geared towards the public, around understanding stream ecology. So someone who maybe wanted to know, like, why does it matter how cold a stream is? They might not understand that there's a relationship between the temperature of the water and how much oxygen is in the water. And how much oxygen is in the water may then influence what kind of fish and other critters you're going to find there. So when we hear about cold trout streams, there's a funny relationship where the colder the water is, the more oxygen it can actually hold. And trout in particular need a lot of oxygen. So he's going to kind of look at a lot of different facets of stream ecology. That'll be Thursday from 10:40 to noon. And that's just one of the concurrent sessions happening at that time. There'll be, I think, six other concurrent sessions, like I said, just in that time block alone. You'll be able to choose which channel you want to watch, really up to what your interests are.
It sounds pretty cool. And there's a whole section on lakes, too, if I'm not mistaken. Lakes in Action, Lake and River Organizations, advocacy training, things of that nature.
Yeah, so there will be quite a bit about everything from running your organization. So if you're part of a lake district, there's a workshop that will center on being a lake district commissioner and sort of the nuts and bolts of how to run your lake district. I'll be doing a workshop, leading a workshop on a sort of advocacy training, so how your organization can be an advocate for your lake, whether you're talking to people at your locality, at the local level, all the way up to state government. So what can you do and how can you be effective on those sorts of things?
It's pretty cool. What are your organizations? Let's talk about this a little bit, too. What are the projects that you're working on right now, Mike, within your organization?
Sure. So we focus on a number of different topics. We're sort of gearing up in 2020 to take a deep dive into aquatic invasive species policy in the state that this crisis has maybe put a little bit of a kibosh on as far as being able to get out there and talk to people and things like that. But we're still looking at that. I'm sort of coming off the tail end of the legislative session, so we certainly have been a participant in legislative activities that have gone on, including the Speaker's Water Quality Task Force and some legislation involved around lake organization administration. So that's a big part of what we do as well. And in the time that we're all at home where we can't, some people can't get to their lake, can't convene on the water or something like that, I'm actually working on some ideas for some online events along the lines of the Lakes Convention that are maybe more social in nature, even just a Friday night cocktail party from your pier if you can get out there with your computer and join in and just have some fun talking to some other lake people.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll see. That may have as many technological hurdles to overcome as the Lakes Convention online, but we're going to try that out here as we get into May.
Well, think Zoom.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Zoom.
I do want to touch on that because we are using the Zoom platform. We've been collaborating with the Division of Extension at UW-Madison to plan for the delivery of this program. We found that the Zoom platform is pretty robust. People will be able to join by their laptop or by a home computer, but you can also join by a tablet or a smartphone. And if it came down to it, people could actually call in and listen and watch the slides go. And we are going to set it up so that participants get to ask questions. So again, we're trying to make it as close to a live meeting as possible. So people watching, there'll be a chat box that can type in questions, and then those questions will be read to the presenters so that they can actually address the questions as they come up. So there's a reason why we're doing it live, because there is that chance for interaction. And then there's also this feature that we're going to be using out of Zoom, is that we'll be able to record each one of these sessions. So out of this project, we're going to have well over 50 different recordings that will then get posted to the archive webpage for people to go back to. Like if they looked at the agenda and said, well, I want to go to two different talks at the same time, these both interest me, they're ultimately going to have to pick one of them, but then they'll be able to go back and see what happened in the other stream by checking out the archive.
That is really cool. It's a great. I didn't know hardly anything about Zoom up until this very recently here, and I've suddenly found myself on maybe 20 different Zoom meetings over the last week or so. So, and it does seem to be a really good way to meet and get information out. As climate change is, I know, as part of the whole process, you guys have any come, Mike, or maybe you first, and then Eric, has climate change affected our rivers and lakes to a great degree, or how has it affected?
Well, I think we're definitely seeing, and probably will see again this spring, the, you know, the problems of increased rainfall and water levels going up are causing a lot of problems in terms of, you know, it impacts certainly the habitat for the fish and other life in the lake, and it also has an impact on the people living on the lake as well, in terms of the higher water level makes it harder to put in docks. The wakes that boats cause with the higher water can be more destructive as far as eroding the shoreline. And you know, many people have done a lot of great work in trying to restore their shoreline and make it a little bit more healthy to help keep stuff from running down into the lake. And if some of that is literally being wiped away by because the water levels are higher. So that's certainly, I think, probably the biggest impact that we're seeing.
Yeah, and from your point of view, Eric?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing these consequences now playing out in terms of high water levels and just sort of a changing, it seems like a changing regime that we have in terms of our weather. It's hard to precisely correlate what happens here to year with what's happening at the climatic scale, but we are definitely seeing these types of consequences. And like I said, there's going to be essentially four sessions on Thursday and four sessions on Friday that really look in depth at these different climate change impacts. Steve Vavras is a senior scientist at the Nelson Institute there in Madison at UW-Madison, and he's going to be talking about some of these extreme weather events that we've been seeing and how scientists understand whether or not they support essentially the climate models that researchers are developing at the global level, if that really is what's playing out at the local level in Wisconsin. I can't say enough about the caliber of people that are presenting, and I'm so thankful for all of them to step up like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Vivian had emailed to ask, and this may or may not apply to you guys, but she was wondering if any indications as to the water levels for Green Bay and Lake Michigan.
Yeah, the Lake Michigan water levels are kind of baked in right now. They're definitely going to go up because they're receiving water from the entire watershed, and Lake Michigan's also receiving water from Lake Superior. And this whole area has had an unusually wet 3-year period. So there are predictions already that we're going to be breaking a lot of the records that we have for how high water has been. I would say that our conference tends to focus mostly on inland lakes. So we're looking at those thousands of smaller lakes. There are different events out there that address a lot of Great Lakes issues. And I know they're going to be facing some of these same big challenges, right? The erosion and the shoreline changes that are happening around the Great Lakes are very dramatic. But again, our conference does focus mostly on those inland lakes.
Let's take a look again and go back through, maybe Eric, you can do this. Outline for us again the whole thing. It's April 1st through the 3rd, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And so on the 1st, yeah, we have the workshops. And then the 2nd, on the Thursday and Friday, April 2nd and 3rd, are basically all these concurrent sessions, different channels you get to pick from, and then plenary sessions in the morning featuring our keynote speakers. So at the plenary sessions, we're going to be essentially funneling all the people who signed up out of those concurrent streams into one big room. And UW-Madison Division of Extension has been really helpful in making sure that we can accommodate what's likely to be hundreds of people viewing the same plenary talk.
Yeah. And the keynote is Thursday from 9 to 10, if I'm not mistaken. That's Doug Beard?
It's 9 till about 10:30. It will be Doug Beard's keynote on Thursday. And then Lauren Salvato, again, will be on Friday from about 9 until 10:15. So roughly the same time on both days for the keynote speaker. And really what we did, to be honest, Larry, is we took all the times that we had set up for the in-person meeting and just carried them over to the online conference. They don't always totally make sense, but we had so many different parts of this to juggle. This was one thing that we just said, let's just keep the times exactly the same. Let's not try and monkey with that.
And people won't be able to participate in terms of typing in questions or anything during that portion.
During the plenary, we are going to try to make it a little bit interactive. We may even throw out some polls to people that they can answer, sort of yes or no questions, and kind of gauge audience reaction. So we're working on those right now. We're kind of building the airplane as we're getting ready to fly it. But we think it's going to work out pretty well. We'll try to make it as interactive as we can.
Our chancellor here at the UW said it's sort of like trying to build the airplane while you're flying in it.
Yep. That's definitely a feeling that we have.
And I just have to shout out to Eric and everybody at the UW Extension Lake Shop for doing just so much work over the last couple of weeks trying to get this pulled together. I have to admit that when Eric first said, yeah, I think we should just go online, which was like, it was basically, yeah, we're canceling, let's go online. I was a bit skeptical, but they're doing just a fantastic job of pulling this together. And like Eric said, thanks to all of the people that from all over the place that have come through and said, yeah, we still want to do our presentation. It's been neat to watch all of this coming together.
And I could see very few portions of the original that have been canceled, three or four somewhere, and not a very large number at all.
Right. There were a few things that were, you know, hands-on that obviously wouldn't work virtually. But for the most part, I think even some of those, the presenters were able to modify what they were going to do and make it applicable to just an online thing.
Well, it's
our furthest away presenters are actually joining us from Tempe, Arizona at Arizona State University. So they had planned on flying up here to present in their sessions, but now they're just going to be joining us remotely.
Well, I tell you what, it's been great talking with you guys. Thank you so much. And I hope you get lots of people joining in. Appreciate it very much, Mike and Eric. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
Mike Engelson is the executive director at Wisconsin Lakes. It's the statewide advocacy and organizing group for lake stakeholders. Eric Olson directs the lakes and is a lake outreach specialist at Extension Lakes, an education and research office. It's based in Stevens Point. And thank you all for listening, and please stay with us. There's lots more in store right through the afternoon here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mieland.